Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. It's time again to hear from the Lord as He speaks from the heart. All inspiration by the Holy Spirit, a word spoken from the heart of God. And I think that I know the Lord and He's good. He has a lot of good things to help us understand. Good things that He's saying, and it helps us understand Him, that we may grow in Him. With that in mind, He will understand. He will never lead you wrong. He will always lead you in paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness. And we have to believe every word that He says. Jesus, under temptation, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And remember, that's where we get our faith. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is where our faith comes from. Now, faith always looks to God. We may not be skilled enough to believe for some things we're after. But if we keep looking to Him and hearing His word, there's nothing we cannot do. That's why Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He said, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound." Everything else is in the middle of it. When he got robbed, he always knew what to do. If he had lack or if he ran out, he knew what to do. He knew how to be abased. He knew how to work. He knew how to market his skills. He made tents. And he knew how to abound. When he had much, he knew how to manage it. He knew how to keep it from thieves. He was in jail and had more money than many people. And he knew what to do. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. They could not outwit him. Now, so are we when we listen to the Lord. Sometimes we just don't know what to expect. And we focus on what we don't know. That's not important. God is alive and He's going to do His part. He will help us. He will show us what to believe, and we'll believe it and get to where we're going. Day by day. Peter walked on the water until he looked at the water instead of Jesus. I heard a lot of preachers say, "Look to Jesus and you'll walk on water. You'll do the things you got to do. Keep your eyes on." Now that's the point. And in later years, it just clicked. I got it. Even if you're winning, look to the Lord. Even if it's something you want it so bad, look to the Lord. See that in looking to Him, that eliminates the pressure. In His presence, I used to feel like I could do anything because I was seeing Him. I was near Him. I didn't feel afraid. I didn't feel fearful. I didn't feel worried. I felt like everything was going to be all right. And then when I get up and go back to my life, to work, and I felt all the pressure of life again. And I didn't like that. I said, "I want to feel like I do in the prayer room. And Lord, I don't know how to do it. And I want you to teach me. I know there's a way to do it, and I want you to teach me how." And I talked to my pastor back then. And this was back in the 80s. Elder Lewis was the pastor. He said, you can't stay on the mountaintop. You got to come back down to the valley." But when he said that, you know, that just didn't sit well. And I found it to be nothing but cold religion. See, sometimes people, even good people, now I'm not trying to bash him, but people do this all the time. They traditionalize God. They have low expectations of what He can really do in your life. And people do not value the greater things of God unless they see Him in action and experience it. to a man that, to people who are taught that that God stopped giving the Holy Spirit in the sign of speaking in tongues, that was a doctrine that said that went out with the apostles. Somebody gave way to the devil and taught that. And a lot of Christian people bought into it. And in their circles, they don't never see it. And they don't deviate and go to other churches where people pray in the Holy Spirit and work miracles. They used to have tent revivals, and people would go to the tent revivals and get saved and healed. And then they found out about it. Now they knew. And some of them would go back and tell the pastors at these churches, and they'd say, oh, that went out with the apostles. That's just a bunch of foolishness. They just people that's overzealous. They had an excuse for everything, but they didn't go themselves. And they didn't value it because they didn't go and learn. And they also ignored the word of God in that area. And then you had some that knew it was true, but they didn't partake of it because of their organization. And they wanted to stay in their organization. That's where they were comfortable. That's what they bought into. So they didn't value it like the people who went to the tent meetings and saw somebody's leg grow or saw somebody get out of a wheelchair and their back straightened up or their cancer was gone. Now, any Christian can learn these things. They can learn to operate according to the Holy Spirit. They can learn to commune with the Lord. They'll develop vision for the works of God. And my pastor teach all the time. He said the reason people don't teach these things is because the reason they don't believe it is because people don't teach it. If you start preaching salvation, people will get saved. If you start preaching healing, people will get healed. If you start preaching things about the Holy Spirit, people will start expecting it, valuing it, and believing for it. Or you can do it your way. Or you can do it God's way. You know, God can give people millions of dollars. There's a path that he can guide you, and you can earn millions of dollars. He has a way to bless you with millions of dollars. It's easy. It's real easy. But because people they don't know God that way, so they don't expect them to do it. That's the only problem they have. And some people ask God for it, but they still don't believe for it. Now, last time we read about Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer. He had a passion for doing something about the fact that Jerusalem was in ashes and unguarded and pillaged by thieves. And the king allowed him to go and build the wall. And he built that wall around the city. And then they built the city. From the time he began working on that gate, that's when you could start counting the years to when Christ would come, to the point that Messiah would be cut off. And we're going to look at that. Now, all these things are certain. They happen. This was a big undertaking for one man to do. At the king's order, he told him, I'm going to need wood. They're going to have to give me wood. They're going to have to give me what I need. People are going to have to. And the king signed it. He let him do it. We pointed out yesterday that Artaxerxes is also, his name also was Ahasuerus. And David Jeremiah, a wonderful man of God, said that the queen was Esther. You know, she was the one who prevented the genocide of the Jews. And she was the one Naaman, he ended up getting hung on his own gallows because he was an Amalekite trying to wipe out the Jews like Hitler, and he was going to use Ahasuerus to do it. But Ahasuerus, which is Artaxerxes, he saw it the way of his wife. His wife put her life on the line to plead for her people. And see, the laws of the Persians, they don't change. So these things happen. God loves us, and he has a lot to say, but we have to listen. When we involve God, there's nothing we can't do. Remember, if there's nothing God can't do, we're made in his image. We're made to excel. We're made to do greater and greater. Why not look to him and do it? That's all we have to do is look to him and do the greater works. And he'll help us do it. He loves us. Now we stopped, we read this in Daniel. I'm going to backtrack and do it again because there's a lot of things we need to see. And Daniel learned something. Now he wanted to know something and he sought the Lord about it. Verse 20 says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing the sin, my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God," that's Jerusalem. "Yea, while I was speaking in prayer," I mean that's Israel, not that's the nation of Israel is the holy mountain of God. Verse 21, "Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." Now, he had a set time to pray every day. The evening oblation. That suggests that there's a morning oblation and a midday oblation, where he took time to spend with the Lord. This shows you that when you take time to get to know God, you can get to know him, and the things that are impossible for mere men will stop being impossible to you, and you'll start operating on greater levels. And look what the angel said. "And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." Daniel knew these things. Daniel knew all the things that were going to happen. It's possible he knew the years because the Lord told him to seal it up. So in his writing, he worded it in a way according to the Holy Spirit, to where nobody can figure it out. That protects the mission and the plan of God from his enemies. There are enemies of God that will learn these things to undo it. There are people that will, there are false prophets that will steal the word, try to figure it out, and work against it. Satan didn't even know. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think, it said if the, it's worth looking into, if they had known, they would not have killed Jesus. They wouldn't have tried to have him killed. See, the Lord have to keep secret the things that that he's doing so that he can protect us. And the things that God is doing, it puts us to the good. All right, here it is. This is us, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm gonna start here. This is Paul talking. Well, verse 1, he said, "And I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. And that's what we're going to do. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, this is to those who yield themselves to the Holy Spirit and carry out his guidance, his plans, his works. Verse 8, which none of those princes, watch verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And the princes didn't know. We'll read verse 8, verse 7 and 8 again. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And once we know them, we can value them and attain them. We have vision for it. We have passion for it. We have desire for it. And they're freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So since he can't appreciate it, he can't value it. Since he can't understand it. In his eyes, all the things that we're talking about, a man that doesn't know God, he'll rather talk about a football game than learn the living ways of God, how he can truly prosper. He'll rather be a slave and receive a little in life than to learn how to be a king. Every day, most people in this world throw heaven away. They throw away their opportunity to get saved. They throw away the words that were spoken. They treat it like it's something undesirable, and they walk away from it, and they walk right on into hell when they die. Everybody without Jesus Christ is half dead. They just don't know it, and they don't value these things, and they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, I just read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it just reminded me of so many other wonderful scriptures. Jesus said that, told his disciples, you're blessed. A lot of people, a lot of our prophets wanted to see the things you see and haven't seen them. And then he rejoiced in the spirit because God showed it to babes. Now, this is Luke chapter 10. He saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. See, the devil couldn't figure it out. If the devil would have figured it out, he wouldn't have tried to kill Jesus. He would have left him alone. He would have told all of his crony Pharisees and the Jewish leaders to back off. Don't stir up the Romans. Leave him alone. Let him be. Because he fought Jesus because he was afraid of him. He couldn't do nothing with him. He could not defeat him. And now Jesus died just like a seed he was planted in the earth. And then he sprung up like a plant, and he raised us up with him, brought us to life. We received the Holy Spirit, and we do greater works than he did because we believe. Not because we have more time, but because we believe. We do according to Jesus. We have the potential to do greater works than he did, because everything he did as a man, and everything he did it on credit. Every miracle he did was on credit. Every miracle we do is on debit. It's actually paid for. He healed the sick, raised the dead on a promise that he would do it. And when he died and rose again, that part was paid. Now, it's paid now. Our healing is paid. Our wisdom is paid. Everything we have of God is paid. And it's always yes and amen. If you feel like God said no, that's the devil fooling you or attempting to fool you. But we have to look to him. Faith always looks to God. So back to Daniel. The Lord, we're going to find the scripture where it says that Daniel was informed to seal the vision. Now, the angel is showing him, giving him skill and understanding. Verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now watch this. 70 weeks. Where did those 70 weeks come from? In the last broadcast, we talked that was the Shemitah. A 70-year cycle is a Shemitah. They had 6 years to work. On the seventh year, they were supposed to let the land lay out and rest, because that was the Sabbath year. A Sabbath year is what they called a Shemitah, which Jonathan Cahn wrote a wonderful book about. All right. Now, people that do not look to God, they don't keep covenants. Now, this was an everlasting covenant, there are many everlasting covenants, and they broke it. They continually broke the everlasting covenant. They broke all of them. I used to know how many it was. I think it's more than five. It may be five. But they broke the everlasting covenant every time. And this was one of them. They were supposed to keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. They were supposed to not walk but 3/4 of a mile on that day. They were supposed to rest every Saturday, every Sabbath day. They were supposed to rest. Now, if they had an emergency, they could get their ox out of a ditch. Or they could do something if it was an emergency. Otherwise, they were supposed to rest. And every seventh year, the land was supposed to rest. And for over 70 years, they didn't keep covenant. So when the Lord, this is how God dealt with their abominations. Once and for all, he judged their idolatry. The kings that he sent to judge the idolatry, they always fell back into the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who put a gold cow in Bethel and one in Dan, and had the people going there and worshiping that thing instead of God. And he caused Israel to sin. And he set up people that weren't Levites. He learned the witchcraft from Egypt, which I wrote about in that book I wrote, The Spirit of Egypt. It's on the Living Letters. It's on the Living Letters page. And you can download that book. It's free. But Jeroboam went an industrious man when the prophet anointed him to be king over 10 tribes of Israel. And then he came back a witch after he left. He went to Egypt fleeing Solomon, the king. And then he was groomed by the Pharaoh to be a witch. And that's exactly what he did. And when Israel broke covenant, for all those years, they didn't let the land lay out. Now, Perry Stone said something real interesting. He said that, see, this year, this is the year 2017, the Roman calendar. It started in the year A.D. Now, but the year in Israel is 5775. Because they didn't count the time when Israel was in idolatry, the years they were in idolatry and away from their land. But 7 years is determined on Israel. The Lord, at the day of Pentecost, the Lord turned his clock off concerning them. And that 7 years is going to be paid after the rapture, Once the rapture happens, that turns God's clock back on, and we leave the dispensation of grace and enter the tribulation, where he's going to judge the earth for rejecting Jesus Christ. All right, that's where the 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. The transgression is, it lasts as long as man has the lease on the earth. So when our lease is up, Jesus is going to come back and reign. Adam betrayed God and listened to a snake, which was inspired by Satan. And that's how Satan has a legal right to be here. He got Adam's lease. Satan's running the earth until Adam's lease runs out. And that transgression has to be finished. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. Now, our sins are done away with at the cross. To make reconciliation for iniquity, Jesus did that. To bring in everlasting righteousness. And after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, there will be everlasting reign. In fact, it starts when Jesus starts reigning. And to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. He said in verse 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem to the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 80 days, 2 weeks." 7 weeks, 80 days. 7 weeks is seven, and 2 weeks. That's a total of 69 weeks. All right. If you take 70 weeks, that's 490 years. It takes 490 years of skipping the Sabbath to generate 70 weeks of years that must be paid. That's what they did. They broke covenant for 490 years. And the land has to lay out for 70 years. All right. That's where the 70 weeks came from. But there's 1 week that's not accounted for, and that'll be in the tribulation. All right. We're going to get to that. I'm going to read verse 25 again. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore to build Jerusalem to the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks." That's when the Artaxerxes commissioned Nehemiah to go and build a wall. And then he finished it. All right, 69 weeks later, Christ came. "After 80 days and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. That the people of the prince, after 80 days and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end for the king." Pages stuck together. There we go. "The end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Now he told Daniel all these things. Daniel asked for more. He asked for more. He wanted more understanding on this. Now chapter 10, it shows how Daniel had to do warfare to get even more understanding. And that understanding is what he learned about in chapter 11. And again, it was revealed to him more specifically. Now, I once did a deep study on this. I wanted to know the weeks. But from the time that Nehemiah built a wall to Messiah was cut off. It was 62 weeks. 62 weeks shall be cut off. Every year was accounted for except for that 1 week. And there's one more week of years that's got to be paid. And see, every year is a week, 7 weeks of years, and 1 week would be paid for when in the tribulation period. Now we all these things are certain. God has it all sold up. He manages time perfectly. And the people of the world, they don't understand what he's doing and how important it is and what time it is. So we must seek him to get to know him. What I'm saying is the theme is we can do all things through Christ. And it always takes faith. And as we govern our lives with the faith of God, there's nothing we can't do. Now I'm out of time. The next time, remember, I love you. God loves you truly. Jesus is our Lord.